Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. I just retweeted an article from Beyond the Box Score that I've given a double thumbs up to right now. I think you will too. Whoever Kenny Kelly is, I like him very much because he said, Salvador Perez has more games started at catcher than anyone else this year. So if he doesn't count as being a catcher, no one does. So let's not, well, actually, Salvador Perez's home run record. That just might earn that man an invite on the show for writing that article for Beyond the Box Score. I just retweeted that.
I like that.
Jake Pounders. Let's talk to our college football insider, Gary Barnett. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, but apparently I got phone problems, but we'll have to work on that one.
That's all right. We have run defense problems with the Chiefs, and so... Working on that one as well, Coach.
That's a lot more important, bud.
It sure is. A lot of anger in Kansas City this week. And so, you know what? Yeah. Bounce back against the Chargers on Sunday and everything will be good, I think.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, Coach. Let's start off with Kansas State because they have been the most impressive team of the three local schools that we've talked about. And most everyone felt like this Nevada game was going to be a tough game for K-State. And as we talked about last week, Nevada came in with an NFL prospect, not just an NFL prospect, but a guy that many people feel is going to go in the first round of next year's NFL draft. And Kansas State was very, very impressive, impressive enough to where I think they should be getting strong consideration for the top 25, and they did that. They took care of Nevada without their starting quarterback Skylar Thompson. So, what's your main takeaways from K-State's impressive victory over Nevada?
Well, it was an impressive victory, and I think the way that scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter and running the ball as well as they did, and absolutely stopping the ball, was really key. And you're right, this team's a good football team and probably does deserve to be ranked, although it doesn't do any good, but it doesn't do any good right now, but it gives everybody something to talk about and rewards fans, et cetera, with a little morsel here, but it was an impressive performance. Carson Strong had a pretty good day too, but you know, Deuce just running through those guys, and 269 yards rushing, the total for K-State was a pretty good number, and holding Nevada to just 25. I knew they'd be able to throw the ball, but, I didn't know Kansas State's going to be able to rush the ball on them like that, so.
And
21 points in the fourth quarter.
Right, and now... For Kansas State, they take on Oklahoma State in their Big 12 opener. Mm. And this could be, and it's, you know, I don't really know what Oklahoma State is and what kind of challenge is going to be. And K-State is at number 25 in the rankings, so they are getting some credit. But, you know, Oklahoma State hasn't lost either. But this could be, I mean, this could be a real statement for Kansas State, because we've talked about this even before the season started, what K-State was going to go through with this schedule, taking on Stanford right out of the gate and then having this game against Nevada and then going on the road to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State before back-to-back games at home against Oklahoma and Iowa State. Man, if they can win at Oklahoma State and then they come home to host an Oklahoma team that has looked vulnerable in a couple of games, imagine the atmosphere that could be in Manhattan for that game against Oklahoma. So you tell me what you think is going to happen with the Big 12 opener as they go on the road to take on Oklahoma State.
Well, you're right. Oklahoma looks very vulnerable. Iowa State is certainly vulnerable now. You know, what looked to be 1 and 2 in this conference when it all started, I don't know that any, I don't think that's guaranteed at all. I don't think it's even close. It just looks like, much like all of college football, I think, Stephen, is that it's pretty doggone even. I mean, Bama looked vulnerable last weekend, and the whole SEC looks somewhat vulnerable. So there's this may be really a good thing for college football, for all of a sudden parity to show its head like it has, or at least teams play like they have parity. You know, I saw Oklahoma State as a 6-point favorite in this game. I couldn't believe it, because when I look at the numbers, it just doesn't add up. And I know the win at Boise was important, but, you know, I really think the way K-State's playing right now, that, you know, I think they will win this game, as a matter of fact. I, you know, with or without the points, I think it's all on the line for them, and they can see it. I mean, I think, you know, Chris Klieman's been around, man, and you look and see the next three games, how important they are to the Big 12 race. You got a little legitimate chance, and with the quarterback playing so well in place of Skylar Thompson, I mean, playing well enough, and you got a run game, you know, 400 yards total in offensive game, that's pretty good. So I really like the chances. I do not think Okie State is what they have been. They're a good football team, though, you know, I'll tell you that, but they're not what they have been. So they're not producing offensively like they have in the past, and very few people are producing like they were in the past. It's amazing, all these quarterbacks that came out, and either the defense has got a lot better, or there's fewer quarterbacks that really, you know, are throwing it around and putting numbers up. So I like the chance at Oklahoma State.
So K-State straight up here. I like that. That, by the way, that game's ESPN Plus, no over-the-air television. So that's where we are on that one. Meanwhile, Coach, Kansas, they kind of hung in there with Baylor first half. Second half, Baylor blew them out. But the bigger news for KU comes out this week that their quote-unquote starting running back, Velton Gardner, left the team. Lance Leipold said, quote, I guess the best way to say it is he didn't show up on Monday. And then they asked and now he only got a couple carries. He hasn't been really getting the ball much, so maybe that's why he's leaving. But they asked him what it was going to do to the program. His quote, you'll like this one. He's really sentimental here. Quote, it's one less body in the program. I guess we're going to keep working. That was his quote there. But they are going to go with this true freshman out of Lawrence High, Devin Neal. And he's actually been getting more carries than Gardner anyway. Since week one, he only got one carry. But week two and week three, he actually got the most carries. And Coach Leipold said that he feels like this kid's got a bright future. If he had to do it over again, he would have given him more carries in week one. But that's a lot for a true freshman. I guess just your reaction to both sides of that story, the kid Devin Neal getting the opportunity and Velton Gardner no-showing on the program and entering the transfer portal.
Well, the Neal leaving is, you know, it's just indicative of how easy we've made it for guys to run away from challenges. And the portal's done that. You know, what this game used to do was made you stay there on the roster, work your way through, and it was something you learned from and have with you for the rest of your life. But you know, to be able to just pick up and go. I saw the quarterback at Charlie Brewer from Utah left. He started the first three games, then up and left. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what we're doing. We're just sort of sabotaging the whole educational piece of college football with this portal. And so, you know, I mean, I'm sort of taking Lance Leipold's situation. He only wants guys that want to be there anyway. Now, you can't play without any players, but still, this freshman gets a shot, and he likes him, and we don't know what happens in practice. More than likely, this kid's a good practice player, and he's got a future. So, you know, Coach Leipold knows this year is first year. It's, you know, just trying to get the right people on the bus and the wrong people off the bus. So it's a great opportunity for the freshman. I don't blame him at all.
So KU plays Duke this weekend, and after week one, Duke had lost to Charlotte, so I thought, well, maybe if there's a possible win out there on the schedule the rest of the way for Kansas, maybe it would be Duke. KU's a 16-point underdog. Duke's come back and won their next two games, and so maybe that ship has sailed. I don't know, but what do you think of the Jayhawks' chance of covering that number at Duke?
Well, I'm not sure about covering it. Duke is all of a sudden now in a position in the Coastal. When you look out there in the ACC in the Coastal League division, they're going to be right in there. Now, I don't think beating Northwestern is a great accomplishment right now. Losing to Charlotte certainly jumps up and slaps you in the head, but sometimes that gets your attention. But Duke is putting up really good numbers, and so it's, you know, this is going to be a tough game. That's not an easy place to play. It's not a real hard place to play. But if you haven't been there, you can obviously get distracted. But I don't know about covering. But you know, Duke's going to win the game. Kansas is going to have to play. You know, unless this one running back leaving sort of puts a little spark in the team, which it can. That kind of stuff can happen. Then it's going to be a tough cover because Duke's playing really well. They're putting up 523 yards
a
game.
Let's get your official predictions again. So you think K-State will win at Oklahoma State, yes. and then what will we put you down for Kansas Duke?
Well, you know, I think it's a hard cover for Kansas on the road.
Now, another road game to talk about for a local school. You have Missouri going to Boston College for an 11 a.m. kickoff. BC's original starting quarterback, Phil Jerkovec, is out for the season. And so and the backup's played okay, and he's had some time to get some reps in, but still they're going with a guy that they didn't plan on being the starting quarterback. And as far as Mizzou, they had the game against SEMO, and they were, you know, had a chance to rest their starters for most of the game, so they come in hopefully fresh and ready to go against this BC team. And this would be, I think most people felt like in the first 4 weeks of the season, if they could get one of these road wins either at Kentucky or at BC, you could live with that and then move forward with SEC play. So what do you think happens when Mizzou goes to Boston College for an 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday?
Well, first of all, that's a really early for Missouri.
Right.
But, you know, the kid that replaced Jerkovic threw 15 times, completed 7, 59 yards in passing. They're a running football team now. They were a throwing football team. Nonetheless, Missouri's got to make changes, and they got to shore up the defense. SEMO still ran for 294 yards against them, and that just doesn't cut it in the SEC. That defense is porous right now, and while they did find the pass game this week, they struggled there as well. So, you know, Missouri's got to find an answer on defense before they have a lot of hope in that SEC. And what looked like, remember, we talked about what an easy schedule they had when we looked at it at the beginning. Now it doesn't look so easy. And so they've got a pretty rough go at A&M, Georgia. Florida, Arkansas now is really good. They've got Tennessee. Boston College is a game they need to go win. They need to win on the road. They're favored by just 2 points, which is, you know, I just think that's a statement about their defense. That, you know, but Bazelak's playing so well right now. I think he's playing as well as anybody in college football. Got 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, but I really like him. He takes control, and the Beatty kid is as good as there is. So, you know, they're going to put up numbers, and they're going to put up yards, but it's just going to be a shootout every week, and you just can't live like that. But hopefully this isn't one of those, and they can shore the defense up a little bit and get some answers there. But I like Missouri on the road. But, again, you know, this whole game is going to come down to whether Missouri can stop them in the run game.
Tell you what, one thing I could say, watching Missouri's defense on Saturdays has prepped me rather well for watching the Chiefs defense on Sundays, and so I'd like I'd like to see either of these teams just, you know, stop the run at some point this season. It's been it has been maddening to watch. But you're right, now with the schedule, they got this game at BC, and then the next game's at home, another 11 a.m. kickoff against Tennessee, and then North Texas. If they win the Boston College game, they start to, you know, build some confidence, feel good about themselves. You could see them beating Tennessee and North Texas starting 5-1, and now everyone would think, I think that would, I'd be thrilled with that. But boy, they lose at BC, and who knows, maybe they don't get the defense fixed, and then they drop one to Tennessee. Things could go sideways in a hurry. So it's you don't want to say that week four, but this really is a pivotal game considering the games they have coming up on their schedule.
Well, it's pivotal, but and at the same time, Boston College has played virtually no one.
Right.
Colgate, UMass, and Temple. And all three of those programs are struggling. Colgate, you know, not even a, you know, Division I scholarship team. And UMass has, you know, they've been better the last year, but Temple's not a great football team. So, you know, this will be the toughest game for BC as well. But, you know, Missouri's played Kentucky already. They played a couple pretty good teams, but this is a must win for them, and I think they get it.
All right, some interesting matchups on Saturday. You mentioned a couple of future opponents for Mizzou. They will square off in an interesting game at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. What about Texas A&M against Arkansas?
Boy, that one could be a great football game, I'll tell you. And, you know, A&M's favored, and I'm not sure they can put up the points against Arkansas. But their defense is really good. Sam Pittman's done a great job. Arkansas has just got it right now. They've got a great culture and team chemistry right now. They're playing hard. So this is, and I've seen A&M up front, and they are really good on defense, I can tell you that. And offense, you know, they've got three really skilled players, and it's just whether that quarterback can hang in there and complete enough balls. But I think this is a really good game and a good test. I like Arkansas covering, getting 5.5. I like them. I think it's going to be a great matchup.
How about this for a fun non-con? Soldier Field in Chicago, Notre Dame and Wisconsin. Mm. Wisconsin favored by 6.5.
Yeah, that's going up too. It was 5.5 earlier in the week, and so I don't know. That's a home game for Notre Dame when it's in Chicago like that. I mean, shoot. But Wisconsin has not impressed me. And so I don't know. I'm not sure Wisconsin giving up 6.5 points is enough. Notre Dame just plays hard enough, they're vulnerable and anything can happen. But I sure wouldn't want to give away 6 points to Notre Dame in Chicago.
Coach, I don't want to ask you about a specific game because Georgia's playing Vanderbilt, and that's going to be a blowout. We all know that, but we were having some fun playing comments from Shane Beamer earlier this week. Did you happen to hear what he had to say about the Georgia defensive line after South Carolina got to experience that Georgia defense?
No, I didn't hear it.
They asked basically, what was Georgia's defense doing to make it hard for you, offensively?
This is Shane Beamer. And you can hear the question too. Crank the subject.
Just what were they doing to maybe make things physical on the offensive side and maybe being able to get a push?
Who was doing?
Georgia's a defensive line. What were they doing to maybe make things difficult on the offense?
They've got like 105 star football players on their defense. They have a defensive lineman that weighs 340 pounds and runs better than everybody on this call. They've got 5-star defensive backs. They're big and physical and fast. I mean, other than that, they're really freaking good. That's why they have the top defense in the country. They're hard to run the football on. So there wasn't some magical scheme they came out with tonight. They got 5-star recruits everywhere, and they play really physical. Damn.
So Well, we got a kick out of it because, yeah, look, what do you want him to say? There wasn't some, like, some magical scheme that led them to have this, you know, great defensive performance. You know, they got 105-star guys on the defense. That's why.
What were they doing? They were lining up and knocking the snot out of each other. That's what happened.
That's right.
How good is that Georgia defense in your mind? Is it the best defense in the country?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any question that's the best defense. Clemson's is really good numbers-wise, too, but you saw what happened in that game. But Clemson, stat-wise, is up there. They're as good as Georgia defensively, or practically as good. So, yeah, those two guys have it cornered right now.
Well, Coach, it should be an interesting weekend for the local schools, all three of them on the road in important games, and all three of them a chance to get wins here. And so you're picking all three local schools to get road wins? No, not Kansas. You got Duke. So,
No.
But you got Mizzou. You got Mizzou and Kansas State, right?
I got Mizzou and Kansas State.
Okay, but in Kansas, no cover with Kansas. I'm trying here. No?
Yeah, that's the way I'm feeling
okay,
right now.
All right. All right, Coach, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Great being with you.
Always great to be with you, Coach. Thank you so much for the time. So, Jake, nothing? 16? Kansas?
You just can't. I mean, Kansas isn't at a place yet where you can.
No.
You just can't pick them. I like the
just
way Leipold handled that situation with this kid. What's it mean to lose him? Well, it's one less body.
Yeah. Was he wrong?
Facts.
No,
yeah.
I think it's right.
Yeah,
I think he's handled it the right way.
That's right.
I like the Devin Neal kid. I mean, he's a true freshman. Hopefully he grows into the position. But you just can't. Like, I went up to the KU game on Saturday. I had a great time. The first half, they kept it close. You just can't have any expectations right now. You got to let Lance Leipold coach the team up and get some guys in there. You know, that's just where we're at right now. I don't have any expectations, and I won't get upset, you know, with the way things go this year. Because what's he going to do? He walked into this situation.
Well, what do you want from me?
What do you want from me?
We've got Mike DePasquale coming up in a couple of segments, then Nick Leckie. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.